awesome. And they're all, these tanks are all over Uganda right now. They're changing the lives of the villagers and the places where they put them. So I just want to say that this thing that the school is doing is very worthy of your support.
Mm-hmm. Amen. How many of you ever turn your water faucet on at home and don't think twice about it? You just don't think twice. You turn the water on and you have water. And many people in the world don't have a water faucet to turn on. And if they do get water, it makes them sick. Some of the pictures and reports that I've seen of kids that get parasitic infections because they don't have clean water. And you know, if you want to reach somebody for Christ, yeah, you can come and preach the gospel to them while they're dying of thirst, or you can help meet their need in Jesus' name. And that is so, so, so important. Praise God. Thank you, Harrison. That's a great project. I think it's awesome. Awesome and amazing. All right. Any testimonies this morning before we jump on into the Word? Anybody have a Dakota? You have to use the mic.
Okay.
You don't have a choice, but you know, it's on.
Hello.
I think it was. Well, I guess it's not on anymore. I think I turned it off.
Muted.
No, I think I shut it. Oh no, it's on. Now you got it.
Now is it on? Now it is. Okay, so as you all probably noticed, we've been gone for the last little while, but big things are happening for us. The scuba program that I've been pitching for is up and running. We have succeeded in our first group of kids getting to experience something like that. For those of you who, have we announced the house yet? We've moved into a house. We got a house a couple months ago. And we just recently are buying a secondary car for an expansion.
Levi's running out of room.
The Prius is quite small.
All through the grace of God.
Amen. Yes.
I want to thank all of you who have prayed over the months for my grandson, John Tyler, who's been on a warship somewhere in the ocean. This week, he got back to Groton, Connecticut. So, yes, his deployment is done, and he's healthy and wonderful, and I'm so glad he's home. Thank you for praying.
Amen, 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 amen. A hand in the back.
I learned an interesting statistic at Pennsylvania Hunting Camp this week. There was a CEO from a bank that was hunting with us from West Virginia. I don't know why he had the statistic, but he says the average, and this is a footnote to the Uganda Water Project, the average woman in the world today walks 350 miles a year to get water. And she will carry a total of at least 35 tons in that time period.
Wow.
So when you know you hear Harrison up there, yeah, it's a good time to get out the checkbooks.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And another. Go ahead.
All right, many of you know my mom fell and broke her femur. And she had already had several hip replacements in that side because she started having them when she was in her 40s, early 40s. 42,
four.
I believe she was.
Four, right?
Three on that side.
Oh, three on that side. Three on that side, four on the other.
She's had seven total, so I was like, but because they don't last forever, you know. So anyway, she has a stem. The stem of her hip replacement goes into the femur, and it broke there. So the whole stability of that hip replacement and leg depends on that bone growing. So we've been very careful. and she has not bore weight on it at all for 8 weeks. But she has had no pain, so I praise God that she has had no pain and that the bone has shown some growth, and we're looking forward to a good report soon that she could bear weight on it. But I'm just, I just praise the Lord for taking care of every detail and helping us all along the way.
Amen.
Amen. And she has learned the joys of our recliner. Yes, glory to God. All right. Let's look into the Word this morning. Did you know that you're a wrestler? Did you know that you're a wrestler? The Scripture calls you a wrestler. And go ahead, you can bring up my... Oh, there is no one there. Yeah, I did. I put it on. Yeah, I did open it up. Thought I did. Well, you just never know. Not there? Well, it'll be there in a second. Oh, somebody closed it out. Okay, there it is. All right, go ahead and you can put that up for me, Adam. For we do not wrestle. Notice it says we don't wrestle, but yeah, we do. Against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You are a wrestler. God has called you to wrestle. He's called you to fight. Now, does God need to fight? Is it a battle between God and the devil? No. It's not. But the work of Christ on the cross has destroyed it. But yet, we still have a wrestling in this world. We're still... This is annoying me. We're still left with the battle that we wage with the prince of the power of the air. And if you don't notice, if you haven't noticed that, then this time of year will kind of bring it to your remembrance. If you just look at people's lawns or you go to the grocery store and you see all these lovely, horrible things that come out of the woodwork in October. But this is a very real spiritual battle that we are called into. But the good news is that Jesus is the deliverer. And we live in a world today where people need deliverance as never before. And I want to share with you a little bit today on the subject of the ministry of deliverance. I don't think this is something that I have ever shared on before, ever, anywhere. I mean, a little bit, but I've never taken time. And what I want to do is take a little time today. I have just so much material that there's no way we'll ever look at it all today. But I don't want to rush through it. I want to lay the scriptural foundation. I want to make sure that we lay this so that we understand where all this is coming from and then how to apply it. So we recognize that there is a war and a battle that we are in and that we're called to. And it says that we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual hosts of wickedness. That sounds bad. Where did this all come from? Well, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He's had a lot of different names throughout the ages. Lucifer. I almost hate to spend a lot of time talking about him today because we've just proclaimed the name of Jesus. So we don't want to shine the spotlight on this except to shine the light of truth in dark places. Because the enemy likes to hide in darkness. So where did Satan come from? Well, there's some real crazy theories out there that he was part of a pre a race before Adam, and I don't think there's any real scriptural basis for that. And the scripture is not really explicit, but we get some clues. If we looked in Isaiah 14, go ahead, Adam, 12 through 14, the prophet says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O day star." That word day star literally means Lucifer. Son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the ground, O destroyer of nations. Why? You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit in the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. What word do you see repeated over and over and over in that? I, and when you get too many I's, you get I. Look out. There's going to be trouble. I this, I that. Do you see where the center of that is? That sin of I, that sin of pride. I want to become like the Most High God. Go ahead, Adam. Ezekiel 28, 11 through 15, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every kind of precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. Your mountings and settings were crafted in gold, prepared on the day of your creation. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for I had ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones from the day you were created. You were blameless in your ways until wickedness was found in you. Now we find out that this was an angel. Revelation 12. Go ahead, Adam. 3 through 9. Then another sign appeared in heaven, a huge red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 royal crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars from the sky, tossing them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, ready to devour her child as soon as she gave birth. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place for her to be nourished for 1,260 days. Don't ask me what that number means. I'll tell you right now, I don't know. Then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. And guess who won? But the dragon was not strong enough, and no longer was any place found in heaven for him and his angels, and the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. I wondered as a young Christian, well, where did demons come from? Where does all this come from? But apparently we see evidence in the scripture of rebellion against God. And this is a third of the stars from heaven. I believe that demons are likely fallen angels who have turned from ministering saints of God to ministering saints of the enemy. Not saints, ministering unsaints. but it's interesting, if we look in the scriptures, Jesus spent almost a fourth of his ministry. If you look at the time that he spent on this earth, about a fourth of his ministry was taken up with the ministry of deliverance. He spent a lot of time commanding demons to release people. If you remember Mark, go ahead, Adam. Mark 4, 1 through 11, we have the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. I have so many scriptures today that I'm going to kind of encapsulate these a little bit. the devil comes. The devil himself, who else would come, would he entrust to try to tempt Jesus but himself? So he comes, Jesus was led in the Spirit and was tempted of the devil, fasted 40 days and nights, and he was hungry. And what does the tempter, the devil, do? He comes, and what does he do? He quotes some kind of scripture to him. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You know, God provided manna in the wilderness. You're hungry, just make it. Zap! You know, give it a divine zap. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, if you don't think the devil can't quote scripture, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Click. Jesus replied, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said, all this I will give you. And in another version of another one of the Gospels, it says, for this has been given to me, and I can give it to whoever I want to. Hear that voice of pride again? Still there. Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him. Some of the other versions, some of the other Gospels, rather, they left him for a season. Doesn't say he left him for good. And angels came and ministered to him. Go ahead, Adam. We're going to march through these. I want to look at some examples of in Jesus' ministry of dealing with demonic power. Mark 1, 23 through 27. Suddenly a man with an unclean spirit cried out in the synagogue, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You know, demons know a lot of stuff. You know why? They've been around a long time. It's not like they've got like some kind of omniscient power. They know things. And that's why sometimes psychics today, under demonic influence, will say things that are true. It's because spirits have knowledge. They see things in the spirit world. It doesn't mean they're powerful. It just means they're not completely stupid. Yes?
So, I can attest to this. Before I came to Jesus, I used to use tarot cards, and they would be spot on. But the information that it was coming from, it was demonic. You would flip a card, and it would tell you exactly what was going to or had happened. Not something you want to mess with.
And normally it's what has happened, because I had the same experience as an unsaved person. I used tarot cards as well. And they told me all kinds of stuff about myself. And it was true, but it wasn't God. It was not God. But Jesus rebuked the spirit. Be silent, he said. Come out of him. At this, the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out with a loud shriek. All the people were amazed and began to ask one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. Oh, they were used to teaching, but they weren't used to teaching with somebody who had spiritual authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him, and they come out. They hadn't seen that before. Go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry some of the print on this. I tried to make it as big as I could. If you want to read along in your own Bible, you certainly can do that. Mark 5, 1 through 20. On the other side of the sea, they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he was met by a man with an unclean spirit who was coming, guess where? From the tombs. Guess where demons like to associate? In unclean places. The man had been living in the tombs and could no longer be restrained even with chains. That's because there is such a thing as demonic strength. Though he was often bound with chains and shackles, he had broken the chains and shattered the shackles. Now there was no one with the strength to subdue him. Night and day in the tombs and in the mountains, he kept crying out and cutting himself with stones. When the man saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees before him, and he shouted with a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, do not torture me." For Jesus had already declared, "Come out of this man, you unclean spirit." Do you think that the spirits inside of that man wanted to come to Jesus? Do you think they wanted to run to him? So why is it that this man with all these demons in him ran to Jesus? Spirits can influence a person, they can oppress, they can possess, but they cannot violate your will, and that man knew he had to get to Jesus. Jesus said, "What is your name?" You know, demons have names. I have encountered demons, and we've asked them, and sometimes they talk back. Usually I don't like to listen to that, but sometimes they do. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them out of that region. There were on the nearby hillside a large herd of pigs was feeding. So the demons begged Jesus, "Send us into the pigs so that we may enter them." Any reason why they would want to go into pigs? The very animal that was considered repulsive and unclean to the Jews, and that's where they wanted to go. He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and went into the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there. Sitting, not going, "Ah," and cutting himself. Sitting, clothed, who knows how long it was since that guy had been dressed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Yeah, I'd be a little freaked out too, maybe. Those who had seen it described what had happened to the demon-possessed man and also to the pigs, and the people began to beg Jesus to leave their region. I'd be like, "No, stay. We need you here." He was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed by the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus would not allow him. "Go home to your own people," he said, "and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown on you." This was a pretty extreme case. We look at this and say, "Oh, this must be one in a million." Guess what? Well, let's move on. Mark 6, 9. Wrong one. I changed my scripture. Luke 8, 1 through 3. "Soon afterward, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out." There's a lot of speculation on who Mary of Magdalene was. The scripture doesn't tell us much. There's talk and supposition that she lived a very immoral life, that she did this, she did that. There's no knowing that from the scripture. We can't tell, except to say that she was bound and Jesus delivered her. Glory to God. Let's go ahead, Adam. Luke 10, 17 through 19, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He told them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.'" How would he have seen that? Because he was from the beginning. And he saw it when it happened. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Glory to God. Deliverance is freedom from possession or oppression or torment, whatever has come into your life that's not from God. Jesus is the deliverer. In our modern day science and psychology, our culture has tried to do away with the spiritual. If you tell somebody that their problem could be spiritual, they'll laugh right in your face. They'll ridicule you. Or worse yet, they'll consider you a threat or mentally unfit. And yet, have we just not seen throughout the scriptures our Lord and Savior addressing and delivering people from demonic power? John 10:10. Go ahead, Adam. Oops. I guess I skipped John 10:10. That's all right. Oh, I meant to go to that one. I did mean to. Jesus in his, I'm getting ahead of my notes. Jesus said when he gave his, he stood up in the temple and began to read and told them that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Deliverance is the children's bread. When the woman came and said, "Lord, my daughter has a demon. Come and can you please help us?" He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs." She had to work through an insult there. But she said, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table." Deliverance is the children's bread. If you are a child of God, there is deliverance. And God intends for that. But Scripture teaches us that demonic power can cause illness, affliction, and torment. The Gadarene demoniac cut himself, became unacceptable in society, and he was in torment. Luke 13, did I put that one up? I'm starting to lose. Well, there's that. We'll skip that one for now. We'll come back. Luke 13, one Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been disabled. How? By a spirit. We're not making this up. For 18 years, she was hunched over and could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your disability." Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to glorify God. But the leader of the synagogue was indignant. He had a little snit. He got a wild hair up his nose. "There are 6 days for work." "How hard-hearted can you be?" he told the crowd. "So come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." So do you think he deserved to be called a hypocrite? Oh, yeah. "Ha! You hypocrites," the Lord replied. "Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? Then should not this daughter of who? Daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be released from her bondage on the Sabbath day." When we get saved, is it possible to bring bondage with us into the kingdom with us? It absolutely is. When I got saved, and I showed up with, and I brought all my bags right along with me, and I wasn't ready to let them go yet. God took me anyway, but I came with addiction, and when I was finally convicted of that and I went for prayer, my pastor commanded the spirit of addiction to come out of me, and I felt it leave, and I was free. It was gone. It was gone. But spirits can be responsible for illness, addiction, mental illness, torment, a host of problems. And we're not here to glorify that. We're here to glorify the deliverer. In the Old Testament, was filled with stories of pagan gods. But the main ones were Molech, Baal, and Ashtoreth. And the scripture says that behind them all, they're all demons, all of them. Look at the Muslim religion. Allah that they worship, Allah is a demon. Plain and simple. He is not the same God that we worship. Don't listen to that. We don't all somehow worship the same God. We're just different religions. Sorry, no. Allah is a demon. We talked about Molech last week, the bloodthirsty demon that the Israelites were commanded not to sacrifice their children to. There was Baal that they continually fell into idolatry with, the Canaanite god that was represented by a bull or by the statue of a man with a bull's head. But he was the god of fertility for crops and for children. And you can imagine what the worship of Baal then involved. I don't want to describe it, but perversity and the most obscene prostitution practices, don't even look at it. Asherah was represented by a tree, or usually they carved her out of a tree. She was supposedly the mother of Baal, and weirdly enough, also became his mistress in their myth. You can just see how perverted and obscene it is. But again, the worship of Asherah involved terrible sexual perversion. Today, we don't have the idols anymore, but the spirits are still here. And the results are still the same. Take a look at it. In the name of freedom and happiness, we have every kind of sexual perversion that you can imagine. Deuteronomy 22:5. I think I put that one up. Well, we're going to skip Romans. I'm going to come back to some of these. We're so far down the road now. Deuteronomy 22:5, and I don't think I put that in there. If you want to look there, I'm going to have to turn there to make sure I don't become evangelistic. I have a habit of getting things wrong. Deuteronomy 22:5. This is a scripture that you won't hear quoted very much, but the implications are huge. A woman, this is going to sound very legalistic, but a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, does that mean that women can't wear pants? All women must wear dresses from now on. No, that is not what that scripture is talking about. What the scripture is talking about is a woman should not dress up to pretend to be a man. A man should not dress himself up and pretend to be a woman. What did the scripture say? That word garment is much broader in the Hebrew than what we think of as just clothes. It's talking about accessories, talking about the things that go along with that to look like a man or woman or the opposite gender that you are. The Roman worship of the god Venus involved women dressing in armor and men wearing very effeminate womanly clothing. Do we see the same spirit behind that today? Oh my gosh. A foot in there. The goal of the enemy is to set up a stronghold, and such a stronghold will limit a person's spiritual, emotional, relational life to a greater or a lesser degree. I remember that I struggled with that. And it comes either through the devil gets a foothold in someone's life or an introduction into it, either directly by a direct introduction to darkness through the lies of the internet, through porn, whatever, or through trauma. Sometimes kids go through awful childhood traumas, and they can struggle with a spirit of fear. If you talk to lots and lots and lots of gay people in the gay community, you will find out many, many of them as young children were molested by somebody. And it gave the devil a chance to impress a spiritual bondage into their life. Oh, but God. And the greatest open door that we fight with in deliverance ministry and praying for people is this whole issue of unforgiveness. Matthew 18:32 through 33, then the master summoned him and declared, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should repay all that he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And I have prayed for people for deliverance from demonic bondage who really only see breakthrough when they go through the steps of forgiveness. Because that is where unforgiveness delivers people over to torment. But when we forgive, when we release it, then there's a releasing in the power of the Spirit to be delivered. And we've seen it, and we've seen it, and we've seen it. We were part of a church in Fredonia where, wow, powerful deliverance ministry, Dave Alessi, and I witnessed things at that church, people being delivered that I don't even want to tell you about. He shared once about, and he was praying for somebody to be delivered from a spirit of alcohol, and when that thing came out, he said the whole front of the church smelled like a bar. But the guy was released. This may or may not mean that somebody who struggles with alcoholism has a spirit, but it could. It could. I remember there was a couple that went to church here for years and years, and they went to a very famous evangelist, a healing evangelist meeting. They both had smoked, like smokestacks, for years. Smoked and smoked and smoked, and they'd gotten saved. And they went to this healing evangelist, and one of them instantly delivered from cigarettes, never wanted another one the rest of her life. The husband fought and struggled against that bondage for years. He got victory, but he had to fight. So sometimes there's battle, sometimes there's immediate deliverance, and sometimes there is victory in the battle. God never said that we aren't going to have battle, but there's victory in the battle, and God can give it. Boy, there's just so much, oh my gosh, I had so many more things that I wanted to go into today, and we have, our baptism has grown. We have a second person that wanted to, they saw the tub and they said, "Hey, I haven't been baptized." Eric said, I want to do that too. So anybody else? We're going to close the service today. We'll open the altar for anybody that wants to come for prayer. If you have a prayer need, we love to make sure that you have the opportunity to be prayed for any needs that God wants in your life. be they physical, emotional, spiritual. Jesus is the deliverer. And while we're having prayer, we're going to go get suited up and get ready to go in the tub. Riverside Assembly of God very graciously loaned me their portable baptismal. And it was a lot of fun to set up yesterday, I should say. Suffice to say that Jesus is the deliverer. And if you have things in your life that you struggle with and you pray and you've sought God, you've confessed, you've crucified your flesh, and it still comes and it still comes, and you're crying out to God to change, but you can't seem to control the behavior, it could be that God wants to bring deliverance to you, deliverance from darkness, and set you free. And He is able to do that. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything along those lines, you please feel free to come up. Father, we thank You that Jesus is the deliverer. Father, we know that the thief is a devourer. He just wants to steal and destroy people's lives. But You've come that they might have abundant life. And Father, we pray, God, for release for every situation, Father, that You've brought by Your Spirit to our hearts and minds. God, thank You that Jesus is the deliverer, and the power of darkness must yield in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give You thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name. We'll be continuing this discussion on and looking at some more things this week. But if you're interested in prayer, I invite you to come forward. Thank You, Lord. Otherwise, I'm going to ask if you want to stay for a few minutes. We are going to have baptism. And if you want to come and support and pray for the people that are going to be baptized today, we invite you to stay as well. God bless you.